Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Flat Nickel Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Nawa, joined by my always producer and occasional co-host, Mr. Sam Fritz. And in this case, if you hear any purring or rustling in the background, my very needy cat who is currently angry that I won't give him coffee. I don't know what that's about. But today's episode is with Ottawa, which is really exciting. I've known these guys for a very long time. 3 or 4 years, I think. So it's been really nice to have them be one of the first few guests on the podcast. And we sat down with them at our hotel in Cleveland. Sam and I drove out to Cleveland, sat down in our hotel, which was directly across the street from the Q on the last night of NBA Finals.
And boy, did I try and get a ticket.
Sam did try and get a ticket. His thing was that if he found a ticket that was under $200, that he was going to go. And I was like, go for it, because I definitely don't want to be in the streets during NBA Finals. Because it was pretty crazy downtown. But that didn't happen. So we hung out, we got some delicious barbecue, and then watched the game at the hotel. Hey, cat, wires are not for eating or playing with, they're for recording. Thank you very much. But we sat down with Ottawa in our hotel room, which was directly across the street from the Q on the last night of NBA Finals. So if you hear any, like, I don't know, weird car noises or screaming, that's probably why.
The outside noise was relatively calm during the interview. With the exception of a rogue refrigerator, this interview actually went, I'd say, probably the smoothest of all the ones that we've done as far as outside noise goes.
There was a weird, Sam had to figure out that the outside noise that we were hearing was actually the refrigerator in the hotel room running. So a couple minutes into the interview, Sam gets up, goes over to the refrigerator, turns it off, and then we have, you know, a relatively quiet background. But we had a great time sitting down with Dale and Will and Jeremy and Tim. Tim comes in a little bit later in the episode. He was running behind because of the crazy amount of traffic in Cleveland that day. And just sat down and talked with them about their music and their latest recording experience down in Atlanta, the music video that we recorded the next day, and just their plans for the future. They have a really great perspective as being sort of an indie rock band. It's sort of the second time we've interviewed an indie rock band, so it's nice to see the difference in perspective between folk artists and rock and roll bands. Anything else?
Yeah, I think this was one of our better interviews just because every single member had, I think, an equal amount of input to give. Mm-hmm. Even Tim, who they all described as being the more quiet one of the group, he had a decent amount of input to give when asked questions. So I really think the listeners will enjoy a full perspective from each member of the band in this interview, which is a sometimes unique thing.
Yeah, it was a really great interview. Of course, we'll post links to the music video we recorded on our social media as soon as it comes out, which should be the end of July. Mm-hmm. I think, which is the music video I produced, so I've got a dog in that fight. But without further ado, are you gonna set the scene, or are we just gonna...
You kind of set the scene for us.
We set the scene. So without further ado, this is our interview with Ottawa.
So for starters, our very delightful Will.
Wait, is this going now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You wanna introduce yourself?
My name's Will Hooper, and I play guitar, and I sing some backing vocals sometimes.
I'm Jeremy Barnes. I play bass.
I'm Dale DeLong. I guess we're doing last names, too?
Yep.
Yeah, it's more formal.
I'm a singer, right? Singer, frontman.
And songwriter.
Yeah.
Yep. Writes all the
melody
box.
Writer. I wouldn't say songwriter. Melody, you know. We all, you know. Yeah, but yeah, songwriter. Prior, you know.
Do you know what goes on your business cards for the band? Like,
what's that?
What goes on your business cards for the band? Like, my dad used to have business cards that said Charming Raconteur. Like,
yeah, probably all that kind of, you know, I don't know. Whatever frontman shit goes on those guys' cards, I don't know.
I don't think frontmans generally have business cards.
They should, though. You should. Yeah.
I like that business card of their album.
Yeah. That's so much harder to carry around, though. Like, you can't just pull a CD out of your pocket. I don't know how men's pants pockets work, but you couldn't do that with a woman, so.
Well, my slacks, I don't know.
Deep pockets. All right. Awesome. Well, so I texted you, or maybe my mom said this. We actually played Fever on one of his last shows on the radio before he graduated.
I was a radio DJ at Shippensburg.
Oh, right on.
Nice. So I eventually snuck my way into the booth. Is that what they're called?
Studio. Booth, yeah.
And we played Fever.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Sam asked me after we played the song and we were recapping a little bit about the band and everything, he wanted to know where the name came from, which I did not know.
Name of
the band.
Oh.
You still don't know what it is?
I've known you guys for about three or 4 years, and I still don't know where the name of the band came from.
Are you looking for that info?
I would like that information.
Yes, spill the beans. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, but basically, long stories, semi-short, but, like 5 years ago, or however long we've been a band now, like, we needed a name, and you start off like, okay, what's the first letter of everybody's name? And then you try making a word. This is, every band does this. And we all started, so what street did you grow up on? Yours is Pettibone, right?
Pettibone Drive, yeah.
Which is pretty good, too. And, but I think, isn't there a song called Pettibone or something like that? A town Petty? I mean, I'm just, never mind. Anyway, so Ottawa's the name of the street that I grew up on. And we just thought it was all kind of catchy. And there's like a lot of bands that are named after towns, and not actually named after them, but just like Chicago and Boston and Kansas and Phoenix. They're all bands, and we're like, all right, let's do this. What's the ironic thing is, though, is our very first band, like 12 years ago, was called the Royaltons, and there's a city called North Royalton in Cleveland, and we're like, we're never gonna make that mistake again of like being like confused with like a town, and we just did the same thing
unintentionally. Yeah.
But anyway, we love our band name. So
do you get a lot of questions about that?
Kind of. I've been asked a few times.
I think people definitely what does it assume mean? We're Canadian.
Yeah, so. I think people,
not even that, people just ask like, what does it mean? Like, yeah, where does that come from?
I think,
but it's a good story though. It's the street you grew up on. That's a good story.
It's a pretty decent story, and I think most bands get asked where their name came from,
mm-hmm,
and it's better than just saying, "Well, it's our T-shirt." I don't know. It's like, where do you, all band names are kind of silly.
Yeah.
You know, so at least we have like a little bit of like, it's like getting a tattoo. Does it mean anything, or like, you know, is it just like a drawing you like? It means a little something at least.
It's also kind of a cool, I don't know, it's a cool
word
thing to be able to.
Oh, oh, sorry.
That too.
Oh.
It flows off the tongue easy.
Ottawa, yeah. Well, unless you are, and I hate to embarrass her because she's a friend of mine, the waitress at the diner back home for me, there is an audio recording somewhere of her trying to pronounce Ottawa,
mm-hmm,
and she couldn't figure out how to pronounce it. It was either like Ottawa or some weird garbled version of the word Ottawa.
Weird.
Not everybody can pronounce everything in this world, I guess, you know, so.
Hey, I had a really hard time. We were trying to do introductions the other day, and I could not, for the life of me, say the word signals. And
you
it
still
took
said it wrong.
Signals.
Singles.
Oh, you weren't trying to say signals?
No, she was
which,
trying to say
you singles.
You heard signals.
I
heard
signals, yeah. So yeah. I've never heard that one before.
I genuinely thought that was
good thing that intro got scrapped.
Okay, that's gonna be, I don't know if
one
I'm
for the outtake reel.
Yeah. There's gonna be lots of those because I don't word well very apparently. Okay, that's awesome, got that out of the way.
Yeah,
obviously the reason why we are in Cleveland recording this podcast is because tomorrow we are filming the music video for No More Love Songs, and I kind of, you know, weaseled my way into the role of producer. But I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the recording process in Atlanta, because the stuff that came out of that is really fire, and I'm super proud of you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
So you guys recorded this latest batch of music in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
How did you guys find the producer for those songs?
It was essentially a guy who was helping out the band a little bit, knew Matt Goldman and put us in touch with him, kind of gave us a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And we got in touch with him, and it just, from the start, kind of seemed like a great fit. I think you guys would agree, right?
I think.
Well, we didn't really know going into it how good it would be.
We knew he seemed like a cool enough guy to work with. And then once we got down there, we realized he was like the perfect fit for us. It was similar influences kind of situation, and could tell was really genuinely into our music and not just, you know, going through it kind of deal.
Yeah.
So yeah.
As far as like how we, I mean, we were just like kind of like desperately seeking like for like some kind of like in quotations like real producer to work with, because we had never done that before. So, you know, we kind of like started asking people, and we were sort of working with this guy, and like they said, he had a relationship with him, and we didn't know it was gonna go so well, to be honest with you, because we didn't know, like, he understood what we were trying to do and understood like what kind of sound we were after, but we didn't know until we got down there like how much he was into that style. So it was like a huge relief, because the stuff he had done prior was like kind of like heavier and like just not really what we sound like at all.
Mm-hmm.
And but eventually he was kind of like, yeah, I'm like way more into this kind of stuff, and we're like, oh, it was very relieving and nice. So
were you guys nervous at all having to go that far for recording, because you'd only previously recorded in Cleveland? Was that a concern at all?
I thought it was a lot of fun overall. Yeah. I was not nervous about it.
100% excited, zero nerves.
Yeah.
And you guys stayed in the little, what do I want to call that? It was in the studio.
It was in the studio. He had bedrooms upstairs.
Did you go upstairs at all?
No.
Oh yeah, so there was just like, there was like a kind of like a living room and then a bedroom and...
with bunk beds.
Yeah, we like literally slept. I mean, it was like, the accommodations weren't great at all, but that wasn't what we were there for, so it was fine.
It was cool though.
Yeah, we got somewhere to sleep and it was good.
I was going
to
ask what the mentality of, because you know, the mentality of recording local versus journeying out to some place is much different, I think. If you guys went into it almost like you had a mission to accomplish, to me it almost sounds, by that description of there being bunk beds, like it was a summer camp. Like, it's not necessarily a vacation, because at summer camp you still have goals and tasks to do every single day. Yeah.
It was really productive. I mean, like, we just worked all day, had like a lunch break, but it was spent every day.
We were
making music. Yeah.
Focused. Very focused.
There's no like tourism things. We didn't like go out into the city.
It was just
music.
Everybody always asks, like, oh, how was Atlanta? I was like,
I don't know. Yeah. In the studio all day.
Yeah.
All night.
But it was like literally all of our favorite thing ever. Like, we didn't want to leave, really. Like, Will and I ended up staying like an extra day and a half or something like that, because there was like little things to tweak. We could have kept going and going. I hope we go back soon.
Between that and being on the road together, has one been more of a bonding experience than the other? Because I imagine, for both, you're going to be crowded together for very long periods of time. Is it hard as a band to spend this really long amount of time together without stop?
The band has always been myself, Will, and Tim has always been like the core of the band, and we've always had like kind of like different drummers and bass players, but now that Jeremy's in the band, he's like our, the past couple of years, he's like our for sure bass player, solid in the band. But I mean, so it was kind of different with like different people, you know. I would say this was like probably just, there was zero friction whatsoever, other than the kind that we wanted.
You guys.
Just leave it.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. No. I mean, I think we all kind of...
Well, you're in the right part of town.
Yeah.
Man, that made me lose my train of thought.
We definitely got along the whole time. There wasn't any like serious drama.
No instances
like
of that.
Yeah.
You guys hired a drummer to play those parts.
Uh-huh.
Was that in Atlanta, or was that someone that recorded in
Cleveland? He's from here, or from Cleveland. And literally like a week after we finished recording in Atlanta, he moved to Nashville. So
he did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Anthony Foti.
But he went and recorded with you guys at the same time.
Yeah, he played with us for probably 2 or 3 months before.
Just like getting the songs.
Getting the songs down, writing some parts, really, I mean.
Yeah, he's a genius drummer. I wish he wouldn't have moved.
Yeah, he was really
good. We definitely plan on, like, if anything, like, gets picked up, like, he's probably, like, he's the phone call we're going to make, I'd imagine, as far as drummers go.
You guys have kind of been having to use a fill-in drummer for a while now, right? Almost a year?
Yeah.
We consciously decided that the band is now the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a drummer in our band. There's plenty of bands that hire a drummer or a bass player or a guitar player. So we just decided to be one of those bands. So, like, if we go on a tour or whatever, we'll just, like, get the right drummer rather than trying to find this piece that's got to fit personality. Because the four of us feels perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And even with nothing against Anthony, but I don't, even having that fifth member, it might have felt kind of weird. But now that we have this sort of four-piece thing going in it, it looks better in pictures. Everything about it. I mean, I know it sounds weird, but everything about it just works for us.
I think it's one of those things where we might stumble upon the right guy one day, and if it happens, that'd be cool. But it's like we had Anthony, and he wasn't in the position where he was able to join the band because he knew he'd be leaving for Nashville and he had other projects going on. And now we're playing with another great drummer named Matt, who is also in other bands, doesn't have it in him to be, you know, full-time guy. So
we kind of require a lot of somebody.
So
high expectations.
Yeah.
Well, it's not an expert. Yeah, I mean, it's, but there's no point of, you know, half-assing anything, so.
But we've been super lucky because everyone we've been playing with is incredible, so it's worked so far.
The music that you did recently record, you're planning on releasing sort of slowly over time as singles for the most part?
Yeah, so like once every 3 weeks, we're going to put out a song. So starting June 22nd, June 22nd will be the first song Strangers is coming out. And then every 3 weeks after that, we'll release another one throughout the summer.
Was that, how did you guys come to decide that rather than releasing an EP?
People, I mean, because
we put out 2 EPs so far. This just felt more like, seemed right.
People were more willing to listen to one song than to listen to all 6 of your songs if you put them out at the same time, as my opinion. Mm-hmm. So if one
people
song,
people like constant content.
Yeah, if one song comes out, they'll check out one song. Maybe if that first song doesn't grab them, maybe they don't give the other 5 a chance. Mm-hmm. So at this point, people can just hear them one by one, and maybe they'll like one of them.
Well, I think the whole point is for us to end up being a band that makes albums or makes chunks of music, but I mean, singles are what people listen to, you know? Like, I mean, I listen to a lot of albums, but I mean, there's a lot of the time I'm going to just listen to one song, you know? It's just the nature of consumption these days, so. But yeah, so we're just doing one at a time, and really just to see, like, okay, let's put this one out, see what happens, see if people like it, see if there's a response, are plays jumping up,
yeah,
you know, are we getting the emails we want to be getting?
That's actually interesting, because the last band that we interviewed, I brought up that we kind of are now back in the era of the single again. You know, 60s, 70s, well, 50s through the 70s, I'd say the single is what dominated. And then 80s to 90s, I think the album kind of took over. And now with streaming, we're kind of back into singles once again.
Exactly, streaming. Yeah. You're 100% right.
Has streaming affected your guys? Actually, I mean, do you mind if we skip to a question that we had a little bit later?
Go for it, because that's what I was thinking about doing.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just saying, one of the questions that I had is, you have your song Roman Candle, which has been streamed immensely over Spotify and that kind of stuff. And do you guys know what led to the explosion of that? Do you think streaming had anything to do with the explosion of that song? Or?
Oh, for sure. For sure. It was on...
I'm waiting for you to say it, because I think I'm right in knowing...
So
it was on
Alex Rainbird's playlist, and which he makes playlists of independent artists.
Okay.
And it just caught on. It was early on in one of the playlists, and people liked it. And I think that maybe was like a spark. And that's actually how I found them. That song came out like right before I joined. And
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I heard it, I was like, okay, this is a band I'd finally... Like, I had been living in Cleveland for, like, 2 or 3 years looking for a band to be in, and I was like, okay, I could be in this band for sure, so... found them on Craigslist, and that was it.
That's a great band story. Yeah. That's a strange band story. Yeah,
and now I'm the only one that likes the song. No one else.
Yeah,
you knew the song before the band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we all don't necessarily not like the song. And it's not like some big hit song, but it's definitely like our most popular song.
It's very accessible.
Yeah, but it's accessible is cool, and like we're all okay with that. I think we just, if it became a thing more like, say, like, somebody wanted us to re-record it, we would probably consider it because we just don't like the recording of it that much.
Mm.
Like, just like the new stuff we just recorded, not to say that it's that much better, but it's really that much better as far as we're concerned, because we always felt like we missed the mark. And some of it had to do with maybe like the rhythm sections we were playing with, but I felt like we always missed the mark on the vibe of our band. Mm. Okay, and like now that we've got something like, I'm so proud of these songs we just recorded. Like, I would just, like, I feel like I have zero reason to defend anything. I would just check these out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, with anything else we've done in the past, I'd be like,
kind of
listen to this,
hesitant.
But make sure that, you know, the drums, you know, they got this thing, you know, and it's just like, right?
Sure, absolutely.
And now it's like, you know, if the head of Capitol or whatever is here, like, oh, yeah, listen to these, you know.
I think that...
Get your pen.
The news...
Get your checkbook.
Yeah.
I think that the new stuff you guys have recorded has probably translated best of what you guys are like on stage.
Right.
Whereas the last EP was kind of, you could tell it was you, but now these new songs, I understand your brand. I listen to it and I'm like, oh, this is a band I want to check out. You can tell it is really well done. And the mastering and everything has been, it's such a leap in the right direction, and it sounds incredible. But
we didn't know that was going to happen, by the way. So like every step along the way, you don't know, you're kind of swinging, and you don't know that it's going to go well. You know, so not to cut you off or anything, but it's just like you don't know. Everything you do, you're like, should we keep going? Are people gonna like this? Yada yada. And we never felt like we were captured right. So, the fact that everything went how we had hoped it would, it was very relieving. What do you guys say?
Yeah.
Like when we start, especially when we start like getting a mix, we decided to put like a lot of money into it, and it's like, okay, if this doesn't turn out, geez, that would be a big waste. And fortunately, everything turned out, but it is a little bit. You have a little bit of doubt when you're, you know, in the middle of it.
Would you guys say that experience has helped that too? I mean, since this is no longer your first go around with the recording process, as you guys have continued to play and grow as a band, like, even as you've said, you know, finally completing that you're this core four, do you think those elements might have also helped the recording process as well?
What do you mean?
Well, just like, I don't know, sometimes as bands grow and get more experience, the recording process just becomes easier and more natural. As well as if you guys have a core group, just the vibe of the band seems more in tune.
I would say, I don't think we ever had a problem with that, per se. I think we were always very competent in the songs.
Mm.
And as far as, like, everybody's, like, we know, like, Will's gonna record super fast, like, he's gonna be done like that, and, like, you kind of know what everyone's, how long everyone's gonna take, or how short, like, short amount of time everyone's gonna take, or what's going to annoy you about what they're doing or whatever it is. Or, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Would you have been more comfortable if that was, would you have been just as comfortable if that was our first time ever recording in Atlanta?
Probably. I felt pretty good about it.
I don't know how to answer that question. Cause I mean, it's like, I think some, the experience probably helped for sure, but it was more of like,
a lot of it was the production, like Matt being really easy to work with, you know?
Yeah, and like just knowing
delivering.
Exactly like what,
yeah.
Like when we said, oh, like it wasn't like necessarily that we were like referencing like other bands that we wanted to sound like. It was like, you know, we would say like this kind of vibe, and he would be like, oh, you would really like Supergrass, or just something like, do you know that band?
Oh, that's a band. I thought that was a like metal version of bluegrass.
No.
It was a band very super grass.
Yeah, the British.
Sounds like a joke.
Yeah, and it would be like, and then it would be like, oh, and then it'd be like, oh, like, they had a couple songs I had known, but like, I didn't really know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm like, oh, this band, yeah. And but it was just like, oh, this guy totally gets what we're after, and like, totally gets like that, you know, we want this section to sound like the Cranberries or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And it was just very...
He earned our trust super early on. So to work with someone like that, I guess it didn't matter how much experience we had in the studio before.
Exactly,
we could just,
yeah,
like, trust this guy to make everything right.
And he, but he also kind of gave us the confidence in ourselves too, because like he was like, usually I have to work a lot harder to get bands to make songs, but you guys already have songs. We just gotta like fine tune a couple things, and we were like, oh, okay. Because you don't know, you think you know that, okay, this song's awesome, this is the one, this is gonna take us to the top, but you don't know for sure. You know what I'm saying? You just so you're just like, this chorus is pretty good, but is it gonna fall flat? And so when somebody like that goes, no, you guys got something, like, let's just like, you know, massage it a little bit, then you go, okay. Like in a bunch of our songs, like we kind of were always just like playing, not me because I'm the singer, but like we're just like kind of like playing chords in the choruses. And he was like, no, you guys should like, we should just write some parts, like write riffs and stuff for the chorus. And just like, we never really thought of it because we thought there's like the vocal is going to carry the chorus. And then when we did that kind of stuff, we were like, oh, this is way better. Like, why were we not doing this before? So that kind of stuff.
As far as your songwriting process goes, which I wasn't planning on delving into this, but now I'm kind of curious now that you've said this. You write harmonies and the lyrics, right?
Melodies. Yeah. I know what you meant. Yeah. Say a similar word.
I work in music.
Tim's here.
Okay. Do you want to tell him to come? Yeah. There was a bit of an intermission in our recording because Tim arrived to join us in our little podcast circle we have set up in our hotel room. Tim, I'm going to make it really awkward. Can you do the stand up and introduce yourself to the class and say what you play thing?
My name is Tim, and I play guitar.
Easy peasy.
We did last names, too.
Yeah
you should.
The people want to know.
I have a goofy last name, since I'm worth...
He doesn't have the
mystery of not knowing how to pronounce it's probably...
Yeah.
That's the allure.
Yeah.
It's just not knowing. Yeah, it's that Tim guy with the name that no one really knows.
Yeah.
We call him Handsome Tim. Like, you ever seen Wayne's World?
Handsome
Dan?
Yeah.
But it's not the handsome guy.
Right. That's why it's funny.
Yes, 100% why it's funny.
But we were talking a little bit about your songwriting, and I guess songwriting as a band, and that you, Dale, write lyrics and melodies.
Mm-hmm.
I messed that up before because I don't know anything about music.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of interested in your creative process because I know that when we were discussing topics for No More Love Songs for the music video, you mentioned that you wrote a lot, you watched a lot of Last Man on Earth around the time you were writing that song, and
yeah,
that was kind of an underlying,
yeah,
back of your mind thought. Just, I guess, and also, how are you writing about different things and for different reasons than you were for the past two EPs? Because I feel like your songwriting has changed quite a bit from the first EP to the second EP, and then from the second one to what we're hearing now.
Yeah, so what am I answering exactly?
Why don't you just listen?
I had so many things I needed to ask you.
Are you asking, like, how we come up with songs, or...?
Yeah, let's start with that.
Well, I think it always starts with, like, an initial idea. It could be, like, a guitar riff from Tim, or a chord progression, or a bass line. But I think the song you're talking about is pretty much written by Dale, like, on acoustic guitar. He had a demo of the whole thing, right?
I think so.
But then we bring in the idea to the band, and we all put our own kind of thing on it, like...
Yeah, that one you had a pretty much...
There's a couple that, like, I had, like, most of it written. But that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it was like a slow acoustic version that you had.
Yeah.
But then we played it faster. We did like a heavy guitar riff, and there was like
a
solo from Tim. And
yeah, someone's going to come up with a bulk idea of a song. Typically in any band, it's going to be the singer or the, you know, or one, him and one other guy or whatever. But I mean, it's... You know, it's a very much a collaborative thing. I wrote that, like, the chorus of that song, No More Love Songs, like, while driving. Like sometimes I'll just come up with shit, or like I'll I don't know where it came from. I really don't. And it's like, I think Noel Gallagher says, like, you know, songs just happen, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, you're either, what does he say about, well,
it's like a lightning strike. Yeah, it's not up. It's not up to you. It's just like you have to be at the right place.
They already exist, and it's like, you know. So I kind of believe that, and it's like
you just get lucky and just
yeah, and it just happens. So like it's like some people just get certain songs, and I feel like that song in particular. I really really hope that one's gonna let us quit our jobs. To be honest with you, that's because I knew when I sang that in my car, I go, whoa, that's like something special, you know, and I just. It's something with songwriting. There's like you want to have never heard it before, obviously, because it's a song and you want to be original, stuff like that. But it was like an idea I'd never heard before. Just like the phrase, I'm like, I just never heard something this said like this, you know. And so I think I just sang the chorus in my car, and then I'm kind of struggling a lot with kind of like manhood and stuff like that, and like treating women correctly and like treating myself correctly and just like being a good person and feeling like I'm more of a boy, you know. So it's just like all these like things, and I don't know, it's just however your feeling kind of creeps into the songwriting. But yeah, sometimes they start from like me, like out of nowhere, just sitting with a guitar, or but the best ones tend to just pop up.
You mentioned, you know, hoping that this is the song that lets you guys quit your jobs.
Yeah.
Has it been hard balancing?
Is there any wood? Sorry, it doesn't matter.
There is wood. There's
wood. I'm seeing any, like, real wood. Okay.
Has it been difficult for you guys to balance writing music and recording and trying to play shows and all that stuff while still maintaining full-time jobs, which I would imagine between the four of you have relatively different work schedules?
Yeah, so we just
we're on the same hours.
Yeah, we've kind of just been doing one thing at a time. Like, we haven't been gigging at all. It's been like, let's just get the music done, which took a long time, but we feel like it was worth it. And now we're finally getting the songs out. You know, Tim's handling all that stuff this week, actually, and then finally we're gonna start playing shows again. So
was it a conscious decision to sort of step back from playing shows to focus solely on writing and recording?
Also, we had no drummer. that was like
that
a big
that
thing.
Answers the
That's
question
how we
of
haven't
what
played.
Led to that.
We're
yeah.
certainly conscious of what's
happening. Well, but if we wanted to book shows, we'd find somebody
we have
to play
a
drums.
Yeah,
there's like buddies around town, like Alec, who's gonna
be
in the video.
We're just talking permanent drummer right now. We have a couple fill-ins, so.
But I mean, it's better with just the four of us. But we did make a conscious decision to kind of like pull away from that, because we felt like in any band, especially a successful band, the number one thing, everybody wants to look cool in a band and stuff like that, but the number one thing is the songs. So we just figured, let's put all of our energy into that, all the energy in the recording, all the energy in the mixing. When we were getting mixes back, it was a constant texting back and forth. What do you think of this? Let's talk about it on the phone. The guitar's a little too loud. This isn't loud enough. But none of the stuff of what we did, I know that's not really a question you asked, but none of the stuff that we were debating mix-wise, with nothing was ego-driven. Nobody was like, my part's not loud enough. And that was the first time we'd experienced that. Because typically everybody just wants their part louder.
Mm-hmm.
And most bands could attest to that, I'm sure. But we all were just wanting
I was just thinking about an ex member of the
band. Oh yeah, we all just wanted the best product, and we just knew that was the only way we were going to. Like, we want to make this our job. We aren't doing this just for like kicks. I mean, like I'd rather hang out at home and watch Netflix if I was going to be doing something as a hobby, you know. So we put a lot of effort into the songs, because at the end of the day, that's what people are going to hear.
Yeah.
You know.
And when you play a show, the goal is the people there that haven't heard you or haven't seen you before, they're going to go listen to your music, and you want to have we were at the point where we didn't have music we were super confident in them going home and listening to. So what's the point of going out and touring and trying to gain fans if we're not giving them, you know, the quality tunes that we think we should have? And now we have those. So
I and even now I walk a weird line with like telling people about our band, because I'm like, well, I'll give it a few months. Go on Spotify in 3 months and I'll
I hate talking to people at like work and they're like, you guys like playing out this weekend? It's like the most annoying like trying to be nice thing anyone can ever say. Because it's just, I don't know.
They're just making small talk. They think you're really cool because you're in a band. My family thinks I'm like the coolest person. Yeah.
It feels kind of cool, but also feels kind of lame.
Well, I think
just because there's like,
I think what Will is saying is true, but I also think there's like this. So my job, I'm a barber, so I basically have the same conversation with, you know,
every
10 to 20 people throughout a day. Mm-hmm. And not that it's always about my band or anything like that, but it's like the small talk thing is, I think a lot of times people are, they ask you questions like, and I'm guilty of it in the other direction, like they ask you questions you think you, that they think you want to answer, and like it's like that they, some people are really genuine and like want to know, like in this scenario you guys want to know what's going on with us, and but sometimes people are just asking questions because they think you want to talk about something that you actually don't. Like, I don't like talking about my band unless there's something like to actually talk about that matters. But people, especially like we're in the Midwest, they just think like you play every weekend and you're at a bar playing shows and, you know, and that's just what you do. But they don't understand like the kind of like work and sort of like businessy side of things that we're trying to accomplish right now. And it's like hard to explain something that you really don't understand yourself, you know. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you guys have other musician friends that you guys are kind of able to talk about the businessy side of things with? Are there people, because it is difficult to have those conversations with someone that knows nothing about being an independent artist?
Sure. Yeah, like, so guys I'd been, like, when we were looking for a PR company to help us out, guys I'd been in bands with in the past had some good suggestions, and we talked to other people who had stuff mixed by Mark Needham before we had ended up using him. So,
oh yeah,
not like a ton of like close friends or anything, but I mean,
not with business stuff. I think besides Jeremy, I think like, you know, Will probably has like the most, like Will and Tim probably have the most like music friends, like talk about actual music stuff with, but not business stuff. We don't really know, and anybody like,
there's no one really here that's,
and
like,
people,
in Cleveland at least, that's like that. You have to, like, when you go to Nashville and those cities, New York, you're surrounded by people that are in that specific business, so no one really knows here. They either kind of think they know, or they might have a little bit of an answer, but they never,
and
they never really have like a definitive.
And people who have had some success, if you ask them for favors or questions, they're really reluctant to help you. And I've decided, like a year ago, I decided in my own mind, I said, you know, if we get successful, somebody asks me questions, I'm going to have an answer for them, because I hated people giving me the cold shoulder about like, hey, like, do you think you could show somebody this, or do you think this? And it's like, and people do need to just see that you're working to help you, and then they need to show like that you're taking it seriously, and I get that. But I know if I see somebody like really trying, that if we find success, I will help in any way I can, as long as I see that it's valid, you know. But if people found a way in, like if they found a crack in the door to the music business, they're very reluctant to give you any sort of nudge in the right direction, it seems.
I feel like this is gonna,
is that too negative?
I don't really know many people have had.
I'm about to ask you a question that might lead to a tangent, so.
Me?
Well, just in general.
Oh.
Is it difficult to sort of, have you found it to be difficult to make a name for yourself as this genre's grown increasingly popular? Or do you think the fact that people are interested in your genre making it easier for people to find you? Like, you mentioned the playlist, and that, you know, someone went and put you on their playlist, and it was probably part of a, genre playlist,
mm-hmm.
or
yes.
a general thing where people listen to it, and now that there are people are interested in more independent music, more underground music, or do you think it's become more difficult because it's becoming more saturated. Not really saturated, but...
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands. There's a lot of competition. Just the internet alone has made it, like, hard to stand out, you know?
That's why I think we're doing the single thing, because the way people focus on a single versus... It's like, oh, we put out an EP again or whatever. That, you know, focusing... I don't know if you guys talked about this already.
We did. You're giving the same exact answer that I gave, too, though, so... All right. We're on the same page.
Well, then I'm not going to repeat
it. But I didn't think about that, that that is something that people are going to realize that you are doing differently, rather than releasing an EP and then a year goes by... And until they're waiting for more music, you're going to be able to give it in quick succession of each other, which is what people want. People want constant content.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think about that as you know, I understood that people are more inclined to just click and listen to one song, but the fact that they're coming one after the other is going to make people pay attention, I think.
So to answer your question that you initially had, our goal 100% is just to worry about, and I mean, obviously you need to be on social media, yada yada, but like what we think about is the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that if we focus on the quality of the songs, the quality of the production, the songwriting, the melodies, the choruses, the verses, the second verse being different than the first verse, all that stuff, the bridge popping, like that's the kind of stuff that's going to matter at the end of the day. So of course it's saturated now because everybody can just record a song at home and nobody cares if it's electronic. Very few people care if it's electronic drums or real drums or whatever it is. So, you know, people can make awesome records just in their bedroom. We're not those type of people. So our focus is 100% on just writing and recording the best songs we can.
I think you make a really good point because there are definitely bands who are able to, you know, have an absurd social media presence and... you know, are gaining followers, but the quality of your content is going to stand out in the long run. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to another professional and you're being like, you know, maybe social media numbers aren't the best. I don't know what your social media numbers are, but the quality of that CD, that single, is going to be what gets you noticed.
Well, I mean, obviously, like, people in the industry care about those numbers and stuff like that, but I mean, I would think that if you're in the music business, you would care most about the music. And I mean, obviously, you know, there's like image or whatever like that, but I mean, like, the songs are what people listen to, you know? That's...
None of us are big into social media. Like,
mm-hmm.
we're just not... Not only we're not good at it, we're not, like, super interested in it, I would say.
Yeah,
so...
I just kind of hate it. I'm cool with like Instagram though, but besides that.
But like, so we're kind of just hoping that the songs get us those numbers that maybe like a record label wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to get it by like being really good at doing maybe like a ton of clever posts or keeping people updated on our lives and stories 24/7. But
we need to do a little more of that just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so in my opinion, and I may be slightly minority of this, like something like Instagram, for example. What that's, in my mind, it makes more sense, so, like, somebody who's, like, famous, like, The Rock or whatever, okay? To me, people follow him because he's The Rock, and then he does something interesting, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's The Rock doing something interesting, and then you equate that. But a lot of people now are famous just from, like, because they're hot on Instagram, but there was no precipice to that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, they're just from Instagram or whatever it is, you know? So to us, we'd rather, if we get some kind of following on Instagram or whatever it is, it better be because of the songs, not because of, you know, Jeremy looking like fucking AC Slater or whatever.
That is a trend that's been popping up too over across almost all social media platforms, is the individual is becoming less interested in it, but the brand, the company, the band, the celebrity, whatever, is more involved in social media. You know, it's no longer about the person just, you know, publishing about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more, you know, The Rock has a YouTube channel now, like, good example.
Yeah.
He now is invested in YouTube simply because it's a platform more for celebrities than individuals at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Or even think about the fact that, you know, fast food brands are getting millions of retweets because they tweet a pun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not really beneficial to anyone.
I spend more time thinking about an idea or a riff or like the next move we're gonna make than I do thinking about, oh, we better get this, we better get, you know. And like when we first got in here, Jeremy, which was the right thing to do, said that, can we get together for a photo? And like my brain just doesn't work like that, partially because I'm 32 years old maybe, and if I were 19 it might work differently. But I mean, I think like what you were saying about like just caring about the quality, and that's gonna stand out when the time is right, you know. So that's, I think that's our mindset, right? Like when, you know, just write great songs, and that's what's gonna matter. And then when people start hearing the great songs, then if they come to your thing, and then you're interesting because of the song, and oh, that's the guy that wrote that song.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just like taking blah 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 blah, you know, it's like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, it's like the following is meaningless if the music isn't any good.
Right. It should be music, then following, not following, then music. In my opinion.
No, I agree. Everything you said, I totally agree with.
Yeah.
I wanted that conversation because
yeah.
I think that's important. I think we are seeing a trend of, you know, people get followers, or even just think of people who, like you said, are famous for being on Instagram, and they're like, I want to release a song. And then they're releasing music that maybe doesn't have the most artistic merit to it.
I do kind of like that. Sorry. I do.
No,
kinda, I have a soft spot for that that girl who was on Dr. Phil.
Danielle something something.
Bad Baby?
I kind of love.
Is that her rap?
Yeah, Bad Baby. Like, I don't necessarily, like, I know it's not music. Like, I know it's not anything like what we do, but I kind of like whatever she's doing here. Sorry, that's all. But I know that it's not like a real thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like something to be like proud of, or you know
right.
what I mean?
No,
she didn't like sit at home and like like not sleep because she was like thinking about some melody or something. You know? Anyway.
Do you have anything to add? Where are we at?
We're at 45 minutes, give or take editing. We're at about 40.
Okay.
Talk about Strangers maybe for a minute.
Ask us
about the.
We always do plugs at the end, so if you guys are ready to start plugging, go for it.
Sure. So Substream is actually going to release it on the 21st, but that's going to be the only place you could hear it on Substream. And then the next day it'll be available literally everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, streaming.
Yep.
You can buy it on iTunes.
Amazon.
What day is
Amazon.
That?
The 22nd is a Friday. So Thursday, Substream. Friday for everyone. And Substream's going to do a write-up, so definitely go check that out if you get a chance on Thursday. We'll definitely put it on our socials. And
Napster on the 23rd.
Yeah. this one was.
Cause
I think it does go actually.
Does it go to Napster? Is that a thing?
Will it be on Shazam?
Are things on Shazam?
About MySpace music.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
It's
still
a thing.
Yeah, still valid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, we're
on. It's the least valid of all these things.
Is it on Amazon though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, cool.
Doesn't Justin Timberlake own MySpace?
He had stock in MySpace. I don't believe he does.
Tidal. Mm-hmm. The one.
Tidal, yeah, that's Jay-Z's.
Mm-hmm.
Jigga May.
But this one was mixed by Matt Goldman, who also produced it. We had all our songs mixed by different people. We used three different guys in the process, at least. But he did an awesome job on it. It's a fun, upbeat song. So,
I will say one interesting thing about this song is the refrain. I guess that's what the part of the song is, the refrain. It's kind of like the post-chorus thing. Like, it was like, see you, na, 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 na. That was actually the chorus when we went down there. And he was like, Matt was like, that feels like more of like a post-chorus thing. And we were like, yeah, we think he might be right. So as we were like tracking it, we weren't changing like the structure of the song or anything. Like, I don't know if I did it by myself or what happened, but maybe I think Will and I said.
Yeah, you had a flash of brilliance and you wrote a chorus in like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it just kind of ended up.
Not the lyrics right away, but like the melody
yeah.
came through.
What
but
is
totally brand new.
What is Substream?
So they do reviews of, you know,
it's like
releases.
A blog site.
Yeah, blogs.
I just never heard of it. I was just curious.
So they're basically doing like an NPR first listen type deal.
Sure, exactly.
Yep.
Not NPR.
Oh, that's a,
yeah.
That's a company we should tell her to reach out to. NPR.
Yeah.
Is there anything else other than my final question that I ask, but I sometimes forget to ask?
Well, you've been pretty good the last like 3 times.
They did ask like if there's any other publications we think that our music should go to.
KEXP.
I said, oh, that's a good one. I said NME, and I mentioned the Needle Drop.
If you guys can get a KEXP performance, there you go. Right now, KEXP means you made it.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. super awesome.
Yeah, why don't we just try to do that?
Paste?
I think we can do, yeah.
Yeah, why have we
It'd
not
probably
brought
be
that up?
Better if we'll talk about it after.
I'm probably going to edit most of this.
Yeah.
Have you guys reached out to Paste magazine?
Yeah, they're on the... Matt actually knows the guy who runs Paste, so...
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and they're on the, like, the... They get stuff on the... Having, like, a publicist, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's, like, basically, like, they're just people who know people in the industry and can kind of toss your stuff at them. It's...
Yeah.
We didn't know... In the past, we didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah, we've done that a long time ago.
Yeah, like, we didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm excited, because that sounds like there's going to be some good news out of that. The final question that I like to ask. Final countdown music in the background.
Well, we don't have the rights to
it. I know. But we could. What is something that you guys have been listening to recently that you would recommend for our listeners to check out?
Oh, I didn't realize I was going to start. Okay, so the last song on my Spotify is Obstacle Number One by Interpol. But that's not really what I'm into at the moment. I think I was checking out their new song that was just released today. I listened to a few of Shawn Mendes' new songs. Not the most masculine response, but I'm here to admit it.
Don't you also like the Yodel Kid?
Okay, first of all, let me explain. I love indie rock music, and like that's like what we do and stuff like that, but I think there's room for pop, I think there's room for all music. But yeah, I think the what's his name?
No,
I only know him as the Yodel Kid.
He put out a song, and I obviously didn't write it, I don't know who wrote it, but I just think it's like the best like pop country song that's come out in a long time, and I don't like country or pop country, but I was just like, this is like a well-written song that was put out by like some 13-year-old kid. I listened to it like 3 times. I'm not like obsessed or anything, but I thought it was a good. Let's see what else I'm listening to here.
I don't have anything current. It's all like older.
That's
Stevie Nicks, New Order. Was my last.
Oh man,
two.
You're way cooler than all of us. You know Maggie Rogers?
Yes.
Her new song is awesome.
She has I think she has an old song that's like twangy country.
Alaska?
No, it's called Kids Like Us. And I could be wrong, it could be a different Maggie Rogers, but there is a song by a woman named Maggie Rogers called Kids Like Us.
Well, she's like 20 years old, so stuff is.
And it's, I mean, it wouldn't be that old, but it sounds. I'll see if I can find it.
Is
I'll
it
send
like,
it to you.
Kids Like Us.
No.
Oh, no. I'm just fucking around.
I'll see if I can find it and send it to you. Maybe you can. You'll have an idea if it's actually her or not. But yeah, no, I love her stuff.
Yeah, she's dope.
Will and I were checking out the new Smashing Pumpkins song that came out today, Solera, on the way over.
I was unimpressed.
Yeah, it was. I'm super glad they're back. Like, I'm a huge fan. But and the drums were amazing. But the actual song just. Okay.
Completely forgettable.
Yeah, forgettable song.
You started to say Smashing Pumpkins, and I thought you were going to say Smash Mouth, and I just...
Smash Mouth Pumpkins.
Cool. And I've actually...
That needs to happen.
I didn't love it at first, but I actually have been listening to the new Kanye album. It's only 7 songs, and it's like 20 minutes long, and I love it. I think it's awesome.
That was good. Yeah, we listened to that on the ride home.
Yeah, and I love that everyone's shitting
all
over it just because he came out and supported Trump, and everyone's super biased against him. But
that's probably why you like it, though.
I appreciate anyone who speaks their mind.
Yeah, like no matter what they're
saying.
Yeah,
anyone who doesn't care.
He doesn't give a fuck, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're recording this the day that his new, him and Kid Cudi, that album just came out.
It just came out, too.
Yep.
Oh, Kitty Cud?
Good old Kitty Cud.
What do you listen to, Tim?
I've been on a big Kills kick for a while. So that's... I've been floating around there.
Hey, so this...
Like, while you're taking the trash out or something.
Yeah.
You see him.
Well, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. Obviously, I'm going to see you all tomorrow. But for our listeners...
Yeah, what's going on for tomorrow?
Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and drop a rating if you can. And follow us on Instagram at FlatNickelPodcast to see all the behind-the-scenes goodness that we post. And we'll see you next week.